Lord, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And that's what God is making you to be. And as we've been learning in our journey since I've joined you, God is building us up to be his holy temple to bring praise unto him. And all the pastors that are here now that have come previously as well are just involved in building up that foundation of that house. And I want you to know that I love and delight hearing all the positive things that I hear about Pastor John, and there are many, about how he's been a mentor to a number of you, and that just excites me, because the church is not about any one of us individually. The church is about building his kingdom for his glory, and I'm so thankful that he has laid a foundation, as well as the other pastors previously, has laid a foundation in your lives that God is continuing to build upon, and we have a great future ahead of us. Amen. And so we're excited to have Pastor John come and speak to us this morning. So Pastor John, if you would come.
Good morning, Bethel. Wow. It's been 17 years since I've said that, right? I want to reintroduce my lovely wife, Kathy, to you. Honey, would you stand? So I know a lot of you have had questions. We've been married 51 years now. And Kathy is 59. And so you just go ahead and figure, because some of you are trying to figure out how old we are now. I know how that goes. I'm 71, all right? So there, that just ends all the mystery. And that way you won't spend the next 30 minutes sitting there trying to figure out how old I am, okay? But God's blessed us with 9 grandchildren. And we have 1 great-granddaughter now. And we have another great-grandchild on the way. So that's kind of what happens in this season of life, you know. And it's been so refreshing just connecting with many of you and hugging on you and having you remind my elderly brain what your names are. Because some of you I look at and I go, I know you, but... The face and the name are not making a connection. Kathy and I are so thankful that we got to be a part of the story of Bethel Assembly and had that period of time to be here. And as we were sitting there, she reminded me that this December, it'd be 35 years ago, the first time we walked through the doors of this fellowship. So where did all those years go, right? God's been good. And Pastor Danny and Heather, thank you so much for the invitation to come back and minister. We're so honored by that and blessed by that. We've enjoyed getting to know your pastor and wife, and we've done lunch together, and we've had conversations together, and that's been so good. So just got to look around a moment and, you know, just say God bless all of you. God bless all of you. So we're going to talk about going fishing today, all right? Let's go fishing. That's my title this morning. So how many fishermen or fisherwomen do we have here today? Come on. Put your hands up. All right, I know there's a bunch of you. And do any of you fishermen or fisherwomen have any stories? Do you have any stories? Oh, yeah, right? Hamilton knows exactly what we're talking about. Yep. I still remember some of those trout, those lake trout, that made their way to our house courtesy of Diane's father, John Radulchek. They were so big, they didn't fit into an ice chest. I mean, I remember the first time he walked in and said, Pastor John, I have some trout out here for you. And there was an ice chest, and I walked out and opened the ice chest, and I couldn't believe my eyes because he had to kind of bend them to get them in there. I mean, they were so big they didn't fit in the ice chest. They were so big, you know, we got three meals out of each one. They were so big, you know what I mean? So at this point, you're supposed to say, how big were they? But they were really, really, really big. Now, very few of us like to tell fishing stories about the one that got away. Some years ago, my son Aaron and I went fishing along with some friends and my youngest sister and her husband, and we rented one of those 12 or 14-foot boats, you know, that you can rent down in New Jersey and go out on the bay, you know, with a small motor in the back and all of that. And so we were out on the bay fishing, and this just real quick storm came up. And imagine, so we're out in this, at that point in time, it seemed like a real big bay and a real little boat. And so this storm came up, and it starts lightning, and the lightning's hitting the water around us, and it's thundering, and buckets of rain are coming down. And I said to my brother-in-law, who was just sitting there baiting his hook and acting like, you know, no big deal. And I said, I think we better get out of here. And so by the time we made it back to the dock, they told us they were getting ready to send out a rescue boat to see if they could find us because the storm was so bad. But by the time we made it back to the dock, we were soaked to the skin, we were scared, and we were done fishing. Now, we had lots of water in the boat, but no fish. So there wasn't much to brag about except for the fact that we had survived. You know, we didn't get hit by lightning. We didn't sink. Oh, we survived. But there was no pictures to share. There was no trophies to hang on the wall. We couldn't even tell any stories about the big one that got away. So for all the fishermen and fisherwomen out here, these next two slides are for you. Keep calm and let's go fishing. And then how many of you agree with the second statement there? Stress is caused by not fishing enough, all right? Yeah, some of you are saying yes, amen. Okay, so there's a story about going fishing in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And if you want to turn there, whether you have your Bible with you this way or whether you have the electronic device, however it is, we're going to read through that story. And I'm reading it to you from the New Living Translation, so it may sound a little different depending what translation you're using. One day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the Word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." How many of you can relate to that? "But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again." And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I am such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I love this story. This story is not just about fishing. It's about life. And so the first thing we see is a picture of failure. We see this picture of failure and discouragement because it's early morning by the Sea of Galilee. The fishermen were Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They had been fishing all night, and they had not caught one fish. They had caught nothing. And they're discouraged because these guys aren't fishing for fun. They aren't fishing to win a contest. They aren't fishing to have bragging rights. Fishing is their living. And if fishing is your livelihood, you can't afford to have too many nights like that, right? If you do, you soon run out of money and you run out of food and the business starts to sink. Now, there's another group of people in this story, and they are crowding in to listen to the words of Jesus while the fishermen are busy washing out their nets. And the crowds listening to Jesus are excited about what they're hearing. The fishermen are tired and discouraged, on the other hand, because they have failed. And the empty nets are a sign of failure. So Peter speaks for all of them when he says, "Master, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing." And I wonder if you can relate to what Peter is feeling. Is there some area of your life where you have worked hard and you feel you have nothing to show for it except an empty net? Are you saying, "I've tried hard and I'm so done. I'm just done"? Have you tried to overcome some life issue or maybe some problem that's robbing you of your potential and you've wondered why you even bother? Is there someone that you prayed for and reached out to or witnessed to and you've seen no results? And do you know what it feels like to feel like a failure? It's not easy to face our failures, is it? It isn't easy to face the empty nets. It's even less easy to wash the empty nets, because washing them suggests that they have a future use. And we might feel like letting them sit there in a soggy heap to rot away and say, "I'm done, I quit, I don't want to ever see those nets again." And so it is to these discouraged fishermen that Jesus speaks. And he doesn't call them failures. Rather, he calls on them to try again. Because they see their problems, but Jesus sees their possibilities. So let me say that again. They see their problems, but Jesus sees their possibilities. So am I talking to anyone this morning who ever gets overwhelmed with life? Yeah, am I talking to anyone this morning who ever gets discouraged and says, "I just want to give up and quit"? And when I'm feeling that, I don't need somebody to pick on me and point out what went wrong. I already know that because I have empty nets at my feet, right? So I don't need anybody to pick on me and say, "Do you know what you did wrong?" Because the empty nets are right there telling me what I need and what you need at times like that is someone who has faith to see what I don't see. Someone who encourages me not to quit. So first we have this picture of failure, but then secondly, we have this picture of Jesus, the great encourager. Now, notice what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't pat them on the back and say, "Hey, cheer up, things could be worse." How many know that doesn't help? Right? So maybe you're seeing the t-shirt that says, "I cheered up and sure enough, things got worse." So maybe you're seeing that one. Jesus doesn't use religious platitudes like, you know, "You shouldn't be under the circumstances, you should be above them." That really helps when people say that to you, doesn't it? Or he doesn't say to them, "Hey guys, you shouldn't be sad, you should be thankful. Some fishermen don't even have boats." And yes, we all know that, but this is my reality that I'm facing, and I don't like it. So Jesus doesn't call them names. He doesn't belittle them. He doesn't say, "Ha, you guys call yourself fishermen. Little kids could catch more fish than you could. My dog can catch more fish. I think Jesus had a dog, but you know what I mean. My dog could catch more fish than you guys did. But notice what Jesus does. First, he asked them for some help. He needed a little distance between himself and the people so that he could teach better. So he asked Peter if he can use his boat. And Peter pushes the boat out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sits down and begins to teach. The Bible doesn't tell us what he talked about on this occasion, but I imagine it must have been the good news about forgiveness and healing and hope for everyone who comes to God. And I imagine that Peter and the other fishermen listened to the good news even as they busied themselves with washing out their nets and cleaning up the boats. So let me pause here a moment in the story. We live in a broken world. That brokenness has been very vividly illustrated on our screens every night in the past couple weeks with what's happening not only in our own nation but throughout the world. There are many hurting people outside the kingdom of God. And their cries often annoy us. I know we get annoyed by, you know, the problems in our world at times. And the problems of people around us sometimes annoy us. You know, they drink too much. They are loud and profane. Their lifestyles offend us. However, they need Jesus. They don't need scolded and condemned. They need Jesus. So just say that with me. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. When you look at somebody who's annoying you, try to remind yourself of that. They need Jesus. Amen? Say that with me again. They need Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but do you find it intriguing that Jesus communicates the good news from a boat? He's sitting in a boat, not standing in the temple. He's not behind a pulpit. He's sitting in a boat. Can you imagine with me for a moment, Jesus sitting down in your place of work, your office, your classroom, your shop, your home, your daily world, and saying to you, I need your help. There are people who need hope. Could I use your home? Could I use your boat? Could I use your car? Could I use your lunchroom? Could I use your garage or your backyard as a place for my ministry? Could I use you to speak for me? So let me ask you, who needs the good news in your sphere of influence? Who needs the good news? Amen. Okay, you talk to Pastor Danny about that, all right? At the court. Amen. Okay, I'm sure that Pastor Danny would love to pray with you and talk with you after the service. Amen? Amen. Amen. So thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Hallelujah. So let me ask the question again. Who needs the good news in your sphere of influence? Because you have a sphere of influence that I don't have, right? Now, in this season of our lives, you know, I facetiously say that I'm retired, but it's kind of like semi-retired. So I have four jobs. Part-time jobs, you know, Pastor Danny mentioned, you know, serving part-time as a campus pastor in Ambridge. But I also am a part-time realtor working with Northwood Realty. And then I drive cars part-time for a car dealer on Route 8, and that means, you know, going to auctions and picking cars up and bringing them back, or dealer trades. And then I'm doing some part-time teaching at Northeast Ministry School, and I'm doing some part-time, you know, just walking through open doors like this one this morning, Danny, that you opened for us to come here. But in my roles, especially working with the car dealer and working with Northwood Realty, I am meeting people constantly who need Jesus. And it's a different sphere of influence for me. There are people all around me who need Jesus. And I don't agree with everything about how they're living their lives. But, you know, God hasn't called me to correct them. He's called me to bring the good news to them. Because Jesus is the one who corrects us and changes us and grows that new creation in us. Amen? And you know, sometimes we catch the fish and then we try to clean them, but Jesus is the one who knows how to clean the fish. Amen? He knows how to do that. And so are there things that I encounter that I don't like? Yep. Is there language I hear that I don't like? For sure. But you know what? It's opportunity to be an influence for Jesus in a new sphere. So God has opened doors for us in this season of our life. God has opened doors for my wife in this season of her life. We're both finding different ways to be an influence for the kingdom of God. And so I want to ask that question again. Who needs the good news in your sphere of influence? And something miraculous happens when we provide a place and an opportunity for people to experience the good news and to hear about Jesus. And something miraculous happens in our story because Jesus comes into this picture of failure, not only as the great encourager, he's also the great fisherman. And so when Jesus had finished speaking to the crowd, he turned and he spoke to Peter and he said, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Isn't it interesting that Jesus is concerned about the work of these fishermen? He actually wants to help them to be successful in their work. So can you believe that Jesus wants to help you in your work? Can you believe that? That he wants to help you in your work? And what about other life situations that you may find yourself in today? You know, you may be saying, "Lord, I've tried to make this marriage work." Or, "Lord, I've tried to relate to my son, my daughter." Or, "Lord, I've tried to make a difference in my community." Or, "I've tried to be a faithful employee." Or, "I've tried to be a part of different outreaches with our church. And, Lord, I just keep coming up empty." So, can you put yourself in Peter's shoes for a moment, or his sandals? Can you imagine what he's thinking when Jesus says, "Let's push the boat out in where the water is deeper and let down the nets"? And he's tired. He's just washed the nets. His hands are blistered from pulling in empty nets all night long. And now Jesus wants me to throw them in the water again? And maybe Peter is thinking, just like you and I would, well, you know, we would work this out logically. What does Jesus know about fishing? He's a teacher, not a fisherman. So what is he's trying to tell me how to run my business? What does he know about this? And or maybe he's thinking, "Hey, you know what, Jesus, forget about it. The fish are all hiding. We know because we've been out all night long." Or to put it in our language, he may be thinking, "I am burned out, I'm overworked, I'm overscheduled, and I just can't see that it will do any good anyway." They had tried all night to catch fish with no success. It'd be easy to quit, right? I mean, you could justify it, right? Peter says, "We worked hard all last night. I didn't catch a thing. But if you say so," depending what translation you're reading, "at your word," or "because you say so, I'll let down the nets again." Now listen. My word says it won't work. My word says I have a right to feel discouraged because I've worked hard and have nothing to show for it. So my word says I'm entitled to enjoy my misery because I worked hard all night long, so let me make my life miserable and everyone else's life miserable too. I have a right to do that. But Jesus says, let down the nets again. So Lord, at your word, I'll love my neighbor once again. At your word, I'll forgive again. At your word, I'll keep loving and teaching children. At your word, I'll make that phone call that I've been putting off making. At your word, I'll bring Jesus into our neighborhood and workplace and look for ways to show his love and goodness and share his good news. At your word, Jesus, because you say so, I'll let down the nets again. So I want to ask you, are you willing to let down the nets again for Jesus? Are you willing to say, Lord, I will once again trust you. I'll invite or witness to my neighbor again about you, even though they slammed the door in my face the last two times. I'll pray again. I'll read your word again. I will not quit. I will let down the net for you. Now, I want you to notice that this is the turning point in the story. The turning point in the story is when Peter obeys Jesus. And obedience is the turning point in our life stories. Amen. Even though often Jesus may be asking us to do something that logically doesn't make any sense to us, but this is the turning point. Because you say so, Jesus, at your word, I'll do what you're asking because you're the one who's asking. And do you see what happens when they obey Jesus? I mean, obeying Jesus brings blessing into our lives. Obeying Jesus brings blessing into the church. Amen? A few years ago when I was younger, we were serving as pastors in Titusville, Pennsylvania, which is north of here. And one of the men in the church, who was a dairy farmer, he had been reaching out to his neighbor who just lived about maybe 100 yards up the road from him. And he had been praying for that neighbor and family, and he had invited them to church a couple times, and they were not the least bit interested. But every time he'd drive by their house, he said he'd pray for them, and he said that one day he just felt in his heart that Jesus was saying to him, stop again and ask them to come to church. So he did. And that Sunday, Larry and Joyce came to church with their children. And that Sunday, Larry and Joyce said yes to Jesus. The next Sunday, Larry and Joyce brought back their brother, their younger brother, his younger brother and wife, and they said yes to Jesus. A few weeks later, they brought their older brother and wife back with them to church, and they said yes to Jesus. Pretty soon, Mom and Dad were also coming to the church and committed their life to Jesus, and there was a bunch of cousins. And Larry and Joyce had such a passion to reach lost people that they said yes to leading the bus ministry that we had at that time. And so every Sunday morning they'd come, well, every Saturday they'd go out and they'd knock on doors and they'd tell parents, you know, hey, we're bringing the Sunday school bus around tomorrow at such and such a time, and like to, you know, and this was the days, these were back in the 70s, so these were back in the days when you didn't have all these forms you had to fill out and everything you had to do, you know what I mean, because of the kind of world we live in. And so every Saturday they'd go out and they'd do visitation, and every Sunday they'd come down early and they'd take the bus out and they'd go and they'd bring all of these children in. Because Bruce said yes and stopped at their house again to invite them to church, Larry and Joyce went on to influence not only their family, but hundreds of children. A few years later, they responded to God's call on their life, and they went to Bible school, and they became pastors and served for many years in Landisburg, Pennsylvania, before they retired just a couple years ago. Now, that was a result of one man's obedience, who just said, yes, I'm going to do what Jesus has put in my heart to do. So look what happens next in our story. The nets feel like they are caught in something. And so Peter is pulling harder, and then he's amazed because he sees they're full of fish. And so he calls out, James and John, get over here and help us. You'll never believe this. Hurry, the nets are breaking. Look at all the fish. Nobody catches this many fish. So what a fishing story, right? Two boats full of fish. Four fishermen sitting there with these dumbstruck looks on their face, right? They're in awe. The people are in awe. Peter is in shock. He feels so unworthy of being a part of this blessing. He says, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. And then Jesus speaks to Peter. And the other three fishermen hear it. And we overhear it also. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. Let's say that in unison. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And the Bible says that after they had landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They were about to become fishers of men. Jesus would send them out many times to tell others the good news about the love of God and the kingdom of God. And sometimes they would fail, and sometimes they would get discouraged. But when he said go, they kept going. And many times they came back reporting the great things that God had done through their lives. There's an important contrast here for us, because there's a difference between catching fish and catching people. In catching fish, you make them die. In catching people, you make them live. You are pulling them from death to life. So can you imagine Peter telling this story many times during his life? What a fish story, right? I mean, I can imagine one of those times, years down the road, when Peter is visiting in a home where the church is meeting and the followers of Jesus have been facing persecution and opposition and difficulty, and they're discouraged and they feel like failures and they are fearful, and some of them are just tired of trying, and Peter tells them a story. A story about fishing, a story about the day when Jesus showed up and the people listen and they understand and they take courage and they understand who they are and they know what they must do. They are encouraged, and when the story is ended, they get up and they go out at the word of Jesus, because Jesus says so. The church once again goes out into the deep and lets down the nets. That's our calling. That's our calling. Amen. That's our calling. Jesus wants to help you in your work. Will you help Jesus in his work? Because he calls us to be fishers of many. He encourages you to not give up, that he will help you catch people. And Pastor Danny and Heather and all of you wonderful brothers and sisters, Jesus encourages this church today. Let down the nets. Don't quit fishing. You are saving people from death and hell. You are obeying Jesus. That will bless other people. That will bring great blessing into your life and into this church. So let's go fishing. Amen? So turn and tell somebody, let's go fishing. Would you do that? Just turn and tell somebody. Now don't leave. Don't leave. I know where some of your heads are going. You're thinking, I'm going to go home and get my gear, and I'm going out right now. Now, there's a whole lot more we could talk about this morning. We could talk about things such as wisdom and choosing the right bait or the right nets or the best fishing holes or the best time of day to go fishing. However, first and foremost, what is Jesus asking you to do? Because, see, I've done this pastor thing for a long, long time. And I know how easy it is for those of you who are sitting out there listening to say, well, pastor, that's what we pay you to do. So what's Jesus asking you to do? But this is about each one of you. What's Jesus asking you to do? Where is Jesus asking you to once again let down the nets? And at his word, because he says so, you will go fishing. Important truth here. Jesus knows where the fish are. Right? He told them where to go. Go out again where it's deep and let down the nets. So Jesus knows where the fish are, right? Right? He does. So what is Jesus asking you to do? And when you get those nudges in your heart, or you get those ideas like, I should talk to my neighbor, or, you know, that person there looks like they're sick. Have you ever done this in a, you know, like in a Giant Eagle or a pharmacy or something where you see somebody who looks like they're really sick and you just go up to them and say, wow, I noticed you really look like you're not feeling well today, and I just wonder if I could pray for you. You ever get those little nudges like that? You know, or the Lord impresses on your heart to help somebody out, or he impresses on your heart, I want you to invite that person to church, but I don't want you to just invite them to church. I want you to invite them to go out to dinner afterwards, and you're going to pay for it. Not they're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. You know, sometimes we have a hard time with that. That can't be Jesus. You know, right? That I rebuke you, Satan. You know that. You know we don't like that. Or how about, you know, when you feel nudged to ask your waiter or waitress, "Can I pray for you?" And I'll never forget one Sunday afternoon, Kathy and I were at TGI Fridays, and the lady that was waiting on us, she had just taken our order, and just felt that nudge, and I just said to her, I forget what her name was, but I just said to her, called her by her name, and I said, you know, in a moment we're going to pray for our food and thank God for it, and I was just wondering if there was something in your life that we could pray for you about today when we pray. And she started crying. And when she finally calmed down, she told us a story about something that was happening in the life of her son and said, "Will you please pray?" And she mentioned his name for my son. And then we did. And afterwards, after the meal, and she came back, she thanked us for praying for her son. Now, you may say, well, man, if I did that, they'd throw me out of the restaurant. Well, yeah, that's always a risk you take, right? Or you could get cursed at, or you could get rebuked, or, I mean, all kinds of things could happen, right? But isn't the most important thing that I obeyed Jesus? And the outcome is in his hands, right? The outcome is in his hands. And listen, when it comes to things like that, the devil is never going to ask you to do things like that. So sometimes we sit there and we have those nudges in our hearts about some letting down the nets in a certain way, and we think, well, I wonder if that's God speaking to me, or maybe that's the devil. No, no, the devil doesn't ask you to do things like that. That's the Holy Spirit stirring something in your heart, because Jesus is asking you, and he's asking me to join him and going fishing. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. So first I'm just going to ask you, right where you're standing, if you will join me in saying yes to Jesus and just saying, yes, Lord, I'm one of your fishermen or fisherwomen, whatever it may be, whatever your gender, and just say, yes, Lord, I'm available at your word, Lord, because you say so. Just begin to tell them that. Lord, at your word, because you say so, we are going to do what you ask us to do, Lord. And Lord, we know there's times when we're tired and there's times when we're discouraged and there's times when our hearts are telling us it won't do any good. But Lord, because you say so, because you say so, Lord. So Lord, we're saying yes to you today. Would you just do that? Just tell them, Lord, I'm saying yes to you. Just saying yes to you today. I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. I'm going to go fishing with you, Lord. Going to go fishing with you. Now, I want to ask you to think about a couple people that are in your sphere of influence today who don't know Jesus. And it may be a neighbor, maybe a family member, maybe somebody you work with, you know, your social circle, but they don't know Jesus. And I want you just to begin to lift their name before the Lord right now. Would you do that? Would you just begin to pray? Would you just begin to pray and mention their names? Just tell the Lord, Lord, here's a person that I know, and I know you love them. Oh, Lord, we just lift these names before you today, Lord. People, Lord, that we have interaction with, that we have contact with. Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus. I think of Dave, and I think of John, and I think of Larry, men that I drive with, Lord. They need you, Jesus. They need you. Oh, God, use me. Use me in my sphere of influence. Use each of my brothers and sisters, their names on our hearts today that we're lifting before your throne. Lord, send this church out once again to let down the nets. In whatever way you're asking them to do that, Lord, I think of the outreach that Pastor Danny was talking about this morning. Lord, let us once again step up and say, yes, I want to be a part of what God's going to do next. I want to be a part of the miracles that he has planned. Oh, God, give us that kind of willing heart. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Oh, Jesus, we pray for that today. So, Lord, I pray this blessing of anointed fishermen and fisherwomen here at Bethel Assembly. Going out, Lord, to let down their nets. Going out in response to what you have said and to say, Lord, because you said so, we're going to do it, Lord. Lord, because you spoke something to our pastor's heart or you spoke something to my heart, whatever it may be. But, Lord, we're going to do what you put in our hearts to do once again. And, Lord, I thank you for the miracles that are going to come forth because of that. I give you thanks today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you just give him praise today? Would you just begin to thank him? You just lift your hands to him and thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of what you're doing.